Welcome to the Authors Network Radio Show, a weekly show where we will feature the work of authors from around the world. Tune in and listen to their stories, as well as tips and insights into authorship. Now here's your host and best-selling author, Tony Gambone.
Interviews is based on a event on April 30th and May 1st. It's called Celebration of Authors Dinner. It is a weekend full of marketing events, and Magdalene is going to be one of the presenters of the event. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce Magdalene. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with the fact that you are with Greenleaf Book Group. So why don't you tell people a little bit about what Greenleaf is?
Sure. So Greenleaf is a publisher located here in Austin, Texas, and we are what is known as a hybrid publisher. So we're a little bit different than an experience would be if you were self-publishing your work, and we're a little bit different from if you as an author were traditionally publishing your work. So when you self-publish, you of course maintain all the rights to your work, but you're also responsible for all of the heavy lifting. By heavy lifting, I mean you're responsible for any editorial development, whether that's something you're doing yourself or you're hiring a freelancer for. You're responsible for cover design, again, whether that's something you're doing yourself or you're hiring a freelancer for. And, of course, you are responsible for the marketing and sales and distribution of the book. Greenleaf is in the middle in between that and then the sort of one-stop shop of traditional publishing, where you sell your rights to the book in exchange for an advance. And then the publisher really has control over all of the work. You don't maintain any IP rights, but you do get access to the publisher's distribution network, as well as their professional editorial teams and design teams. Greenleaf is kind of the best of both worlds. So we are a hybrid publisher. Our authors maintain all of the rights to their work. We know that's very important, especially for authors whose book is maybe tied in with their professional brand, or authors who are writing fiction and would like to turn that into maybe a TV or a movie series. And then we also have the professional editorial and design staff in-house. We have a distribution team that works with major retailers, including Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, name it, we've got it. And the trade-off there is that our services are paid for, but since you're paying up front to get the book where you want it to be, we offer a significantly higher royalty rate on the back end. So with traditional publishing, a Random House or Penguin, for example, you'd expect to see, as a first-time author, anywhere from maybe 7 to 12%, depending on how aggressively your lawyer can argue that contract. With Greenleaf, authors earn 35% royalty, so much higher.
Wonderful. So one of the things that I've always enjoyed about Greenleaf was the ability to choose certain packages that allow us to grow stronger as authors. And one of them is what you do, which is social media. So with that, explain to me why social media is much more valuable for an author these days.
Sure. So social media is one of the things that I do, and it's certainly something that I work with authors on very frequently. So there's a lot of hesitation or apprehension around social media. A lot of authors can feel really overwhelmed because there's so many social networks. It's Facebook, it's Twitter, it's LinkedIn, it's Google+, it's Goodreads. How can they be everywhere all the time when they want to focus their energy on writing, or maybe they have a day job that they also need to take care of? The important thing to know about social media is that it is somewhere you need to be right now, but it doesn't have to be that scary. So one of the things that I hear from authors a lot is, well, I don't understand this digital world. Why can't I just do a print ad in the New York Times Sunday book review? Which is certainly an option. It's not one that I'd recommend, and that's simply because print advertising is falling out of favor. When technology, both for readers and for authors, continues to grow as we have seen it, we get a lot of opportunities for authors to interact for one of the first times directly with their readers. And that's what social media is really good at. It's giving you that connection. It's making you as an author seem like a person. It's making your readers feel special because you're asking them questions on your Facebook page. You're engaging with them. You're giving them a little bit sneak peek of what goes on behind the keyboard, if you will. And that can really cement that relationship and turn someone who is maybe a casual fan into someone who will buy every single one of your books the day it comes out.
And that's really critical, especially for new authors. They want to build that readership. And more importantly, I think as you touched upon, that interaction between the author and the general public or the readership really makes a world of difference as far as the readers are concerned on how they will promote your book for you. Is that correct?
Correct. Absolutely. So one of the things that is sort of a buzzword now, marketing has sort of shifted away from this typical interruptive model where maybe you're watching TV. This is a good example. You're watching TV and a commercial comes on, and that's really interruptive. It's right in the middle of what you were trying to do. You were trying to watch your TV show, and someone is pushing this message in front of your face, and people simply don't respond to that anymore. That's why Netflix as a media has become really popular, is because those commercials aren't there. So authors need to adjust their strategies in the same way. We need to stop being interruptive and start being collaborative. By that, I mean engaging with your audience on social media, building some organic momentum. Something else to consider here is also the value of reviews. If you can build a lot of reviews on the Amazon page, on a Goodreads page, for example, that sort of user-generated content is a great way to establish authority without saying, I am an authority. So having other people vouch for your content is more powerful than having yourself vouch for your content.
One thing you mentioned was the Amazon and Goodreads, which is owned by Amazon. That Goodreads is a sample of social media. But with that, and the same goes for Twitter and Facebook, the most popular ones, and Instagram, there are millions of people on there, and there are millions of authors on there. So how can you justify going on to social media to kind of stand out and get that readership? Is that something you can do quickly, or is that a long-term goal?
So it's something you can certainly set up quickly, but social media, let's be real, is going to be a long-term activity. That doesn't mean you need 4 hours on it every day. It just means you need to be consistent. So when you're planning what is called a content strategy, when you're sitting down and you're thinking, okay, I've written a romance novel, where is my audience going to be? Are they going to be on Twitter? Are they going to be on Facebook? Are they going to be on Instagram? They're probably not going to be on LinkedIn, so you can scratch that one out. That sort of critical thinking and really feeling out where your audience is going to be is really going to help you narrow the scope of the social media activity you need to take, and subsequently, it makes you feel a lot less stressed out about managing social media profiles. So if you know you don't need to be on 7 different networks and you only need to be on 2, your life suddenly got so much easier.
Right, because there's over 300 different social media programs and constantly new ones popping up. So it's trying to stay on top of all of that.
It's
is
overwhelming.
That something you're going to be talking? It is. It really is. I mean, I'm overwhelmed with it. Is part of your conversation going to be talking about what type of social media is really good for certain genres or certain authors or certain age groups?
Absolutely. So typically we can get some really good information about audiences based on demographic data to start, and then also behaviors. So one of the great things about social media is, and as an author or a marketer, this is great. As an individual user, it's a little scary. Is that when someone updates their Facebook profile, all of that information is fed into Facebook's advertising algorithm. So if you start running ads on Facebook, which I will teach people how to do, you can suddenly see, oh, we're seeing so much engagement from women age 45 plus or men 19 to 25. And that's a really good indicator of, wow, this is really my target audience. I need to do more things that access this demographic group.
Okay. So out of curiosity, I'm going to use me as an example. I'm 55 years old. I've grown up with the print style, okay? And, you know, even though I feel myself being computer savvy and knowing social media and stuff, I still find myself wondering, why not use print? Give me a valid reason why, you know, it would not be worth my expense.
Well, so I have three valid reasons for you. The first one, and we're comparing print to digital here, is that print advertising doesn't really offer any real opportunity for consumers to take immediate action or engage with the book that you're advertising. So if you're at home on Sunday reading the New York Times Book Review and you see, you know, a quarter page ad that says, you know, this book is just released, buy it now, it's available at your local bookstore, you have to close the newspaper, put on your shoes, get in your car, drive to the bookstore, find the book, check out the book, and then drive home before you're actually able to engage with the book that they're offering you. With digital, that's very different. Digital advertising is an immediate opportunity for someone who sees the ad to click, to like your page, to follow you on Twitter, or better yet, share the ad or share information about your book to their own followers. It's very easy, actionable word of mouth. So that's reason number one. Reason number two that print advertising is not always in favor is that print advertisements are a single-shot strategy. So sticking with the New York Times Book Review ad concept, you will, as an author placing that ad, place one ad. It's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars for the New York Times Book Review, which is a lot of money to spend in any one area, marketing budget-wise. But that's your shot. That's the only chance that you have with that ad to engage an audience. There's no opportunities for secondary or tertiary engagement outside of, you know, maybe leaning across the table to your partner and saying, oh, hey, look at this book. This looks really interesting. When you place an online ad or do any digital advertising, there are plenty of opportunities for secondary or even tertiary engagement. Social networks are great for this because when I like something on Facebook, all of my friends are shown a little notification that I like it. So if I were to like your page on Facebook, Alan, all of my friends in my network would see that I liked Alan, and maybe they're then more inclined to click on your page, learn more about you, and like you as well. So that's reason number two. Reason number three, and this one is the real clincher, is that with print ads, there's no good way to track how much impact your ads have. There's simply no metric. The best metric you could get is maybe a circulation report for the magazine or newspaper you're advertising in, but you don't have any information about how many people actually saw the ad, how many people engaged with the ad, where are those people located? What is their demographic background? With digital ads, you can get all of that information, and you can get even more because networks like Twitter will break down in even more specific ways. So they will tell you what type of device your ad was viewed from, which is great. So are you selling to iPhone people? Are you selling to Android people? Are you selling to people who are on tablets or desktop computers? All of that information is critical to accessing your audience. And the great part is that social networks give that information to you. It's not something you have to bid for.
Okay. Now, realizing all of that information you just gave me, working a full-time job, trying to be an author, that would just overwhelm me. It's like, oh, my God, more stuff that I need to know or have access to. So that, in some ways, may be a turnoff. So how can we keep it simple?
The best thing to do is focus on two, maybe three social media networks. Once you set up your profile, it can be a set it and kind of forget it situation. So you definitely want to establish your presence there. But after that, you maybe need to post once per day, top. If you are seeing some good engagement based on those posts, you can ramp it up to maybe two posts per day. Some of the easy strategies for forming an engaging post is to ask a question. Readers love to be involved with their authors. They love to feel like their author is speaking directly to them. Susan Mallory, who's a very popular romance novelist, is a great example of this. So she has this wild cult following, and she's, as a romance novelist, very prolific. And she runs little contests on her social media pages. Facebook is, I think, her main focus, where she says, hi, readers. I am working on my next book right now, and I need a name for a character. Please give me your recommendations for this character whose personality is XYZ, And if I choose your name, I will use that first name, and then I'll use your actual last name. And that is a brilliant strategy. Her audience loves it. They eat it up. Because it makes them feel, first of all, like they have a very personal connection to Susan as an author because she is welcoming them into her story writing. And then you can bet whoever is chosen and whoever's last name is featured in an actual character in her book is telling everybody they know to go out and buy that book. It's a brilliant guerrilla strategy on her part.
Great. Excuse me. Now, realizing, and I'm not asking your age, but I understand you are much younger than I am.
Yes.
Was social media a lot easier for you to understand and follow because of your age, or is it something that anybody of any age can work with?
I think it's something anybody of any age can work with, and I do have anecdotal evidence of this. So my parents are probably slightly older than you, Alan, and they have taken to Facebook like a house on fire. I think what's fantastic is that if you do want to engage on Facebook, the interface is very clear. It's easy to see where messages are coming from, and even their advertising channel. So if you want to, you know, go crazy and run some really simple social media ads, walk you through the whole process. Should not be thought of as very manageable, very actionable, and very clear.
Okay. Now, I know, I understand correctly that you attended school in London. Is that correct, your university?
I did. I did my first 2 years here in the United States, and then I finished my bachelor's degree abroad, yes.
So I'm kind of curious, you know, because there's always differences between languages and ways certain things are done. Do you see a difference between the social media aspect there in either London or Europe compared to here in the States?
Interestingly, I don't. I think the way that people engage with social media is very consistent, especially in Western cultures. When you start thinking about Eastern cultures, they have different networks that are more popular than ours. But most audiences in the West use social media in the same way, which to me is fascinating. And I think that also speaks to something very powerful for an author who is marketing their book, is that not only are authors using it the same way, readers and potential consumers are using it the same way. So for one of the first times in, well, actually probably the first time in history, as an author, whether you're self-published, whether you're hybrid published, or whether you're traditionally published, you have more opportunity than ever to reach an international audience.
Right. And that's what I was hoping you would say. We always encourage our authors and members of Texas Authors Association to always go outside their local area. For example, we have the Dear Texas, Drop Everything and Read Texas program where we get authors into bookstores, but we always ask them, go outside your area, find new readership, and social media is one of those perfect ways to do that, correct?
Agreed. And I think, you know, anyone listening to our talk right now is going to probably be a reader themselves. And that's one of the reasons that authors can do so well, even in an international market, is because the topics that we talk about when we write or the topics that we want to read about as an individual reader are so universal. So even if you have written a book about, we'll say, Texas, that doesn't necessarily mean that your audience is only limited to people in Texas. Fun fact, the Germans love Texas. There's a sort of meaningful following of Texas culture in Germany. So it's those unique opportunities that you wouldn't get to see if you weren't on social media.
Right. And it is funny you mention that because we do reach out a great deal to that German ancestry that helped form Texas. And I think that's where that link still exists. And so we'd love
Absolutely.
To explore that and, you know, have them part of it. So, and in reference to what we're talking about, as far as the international aspect of social media, that too is that major aspect as to why print is dead for authors, wouldn't you say?
Yes, the world is just getting so much smaller in that we can access cultures across the world in an instant, thanks to the internet, that not only has our scope expanded, meaning our audiences are so much broader, it takes so much less time to access them. When you think about, you know, producing a newspaper, You need to, of course, design the ad, send it over to the newspaper for them to place. And then they have to go through this printing process, and then newspapers are shipped out and they land on people's doorsteps. That's just not the most efficient way to communicate anymore. Now we have technology, and as scary as it may seem, it's absolutely worth embracing because it makes the time it takes to reach a new audience member so much shorter.
Mm-hmm. And with competing against, I believe, 1.5 million books being published this year, and the millions of authors that are out there, you need that quick time response where that newspaper or magazine doesn't give you.
Absolutely.
So out of curiosity, why should somebody come to the Celebration of Authors event? Can you give me a good reason?
So I think what I experience a lot with our authors, there's a lot of misinformation or maybe some assumptions about publishing in general and what it means to be an author that you won't actually have someone to talk through with unless you go to events like this. So being able to talk to other authors who have done it before, they've had their either positive or negative experiences, they can give you feedback on, hey, this worked for me, hey, this didn't, hey, our audience is pretty similar, why don't you try this, why don't you try this? That is so invaluable. In terms of networking, it's great. Also in terms of efficiency, so if you have resources of experts in publishing or even other authors that can say this works, this doesn't, that has not only made your life a little bit easier, it makes your marketing a little bit stronger. And you don't even have to do the research. You have someone saying, hey, this didn't work for me, try something else.
Great. And your specific lecture is at 10:30 on April 30th. But from what I understand, you're going to be available throughout the day for people to talk to you in more detail. Is that correct?
Yes, I will. I will be around more than happy to answer any questions. If people would like to talk about their specific projects, I am more than happy to look at some of the maybe holes in their plans and fill that in with them.
Good. Because I know, you know, you're going to have a 45-minute session, and there's so much information that 45 minutes probably won't be enough. So having you available will be a great thing for them to follow up with you, whether it's within the hour or a few hours later, or even on a lunch break or something. So that's going to be great to have you available.
Of course.
Now, I'm trying not to ask too many questions to give away the entire conversation that you're going to have. Give me a little bit as far as other things that you work with within the Greenleaf aspect that helps authors.
Sure. So we are both a marketing team and a platform development team, and those things have a lot of overlap. When we talk about marketing, we talk about specific product marketing, meaning I have a book and I need to get it in the hands of buyers, consumers, readers. But the platform development is a little bit broader of a concept. So that's the audience building piece. And that's something that maybe first-time authors know they need to do, but aren't totally comfortable with the concept because they don't know what platform development means. How much work is it going to be for them? Is it going to be all social media? Are they going to have to go to events? There's a lot of anxiety around that. But Greenleaf does both of those things, and certainly they feed each other. So you cannot sell a book without having an audience first. And how do you approach an audience if you don't have something new and exciting to share with them, like a book? So that is a little bit of a loop. Once you get into the platform work, the book sort of begins selling itself. And then as your book begins selling and other people share, hey, this book was great, that feeds your platform and audience.
Great. I'm going to stop you right there. We're going to take a short little break because I do want to get into a little bit more about that marketing platform as you referred to.
Of course.
But at the moment, we will take a short break and we will be right back.
Great.
If you know someone who wants the Legal A-Team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve. earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
And we're back with Tough Talk Radio Network. Again, Tony is out ill, and we wish him a healthy recovery, and especially taking care of that voice. A lot of people depend on him for a lot of radio shows, so we're looking forward to seeing him back on air shortly. In the meantime, I'm Alan Bourgeois. I am the director and founder of Texas Authors Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that helps Texas authors market and sell their books. And our conversation today and over the last few weeks is about the Celebration of Authors event, which is April 30th and May 1st here in Austin, Texas. The event is designed not only to celebrate the fact that you're a published author, but to also learn about marketing, which a lot of writing organizations have overlooked over the past few years, not fully understanding the value and the necessity of marketing yourself and your book. Today we will be continuing our conversation with Magdalene Thomas from Greenleaf, who is a social media expert. And we're going to go into a little bit more detail. But for now, if you are interested in attending the Celebration of Authors event, you can go to txauthors.com and select the COAD at the homepage, and you can purchase your tickets there. Again, it's a full weekend of events. We have actually 15 different sessions going on for the weekend, and we're going to be tackling a lot of different subject matter. And bottom line is, when you leave that event, you're going to be more confident, more assured about how to market yourself and your book. So I'm going to go back to Magdalene and welcome her back for the second half of the show.
Thanks, Alan.
We were talking before the break about the platform. And many people don't understand what that word means. So give me a very short definition of what the platform is for an author.
Sure. So the platform is, in essence, your audience. It's that simple. When we say platform development, we also mean audience development. And with audience development, there's sort of two aspects that you need to be aware of. So, of course, when you want to develop an audience, you need some people to talk to. That's pretty straightforward. That's an easy concept to understand. You can't, you know, stand on a tree stump and shout to nothing in front of you and expect to sell anything because there's no one there to buy. The other part of platform development, and this is where it gets much trickier, is figuring out how to build your reputation. So it's all well and good if you have, you know, a group of 100 people in front of you, but what if those 100 people aren't necessarily convinced that you're the best one to be delivering your information? Are they going to buy your book? Probably not. So what platform building is really about is first building that audience, and then second, establishing your reputation with that audience.
Okay, so that sounds like a long-term objective.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Okay. So for a lot of authors, you know, they're so involved in the book, writing it, getting it proofread, getting it edited, getting the cover design, getting all of that stuff done before they even think about marketing. And that's something we've learned through the association, is to try to educate authors. They need to think no less than 3 months, preferably 6 months before that book is even done, to begin your marketing. Would you say that's fair?
I would say 6 months is great. Of course, any time that you want to add on to that, 9 months, a year, 2 years, is wonderful also. The more time you have, the better off you'll be. That being said, there are still really great things that you can be doing 3 months away from publication, the week of publication, the day of publication. But the more time that you give yourself, the better. I think one of the things that a lot of my authors tell me is, well, compared to like doing all the selling, the writing was the easy part. And that's sort of a rude awakening for them, because they've poured, you know, heart and soul into writing this book, and they've, you know, typed for hours, slaved away late nights, early mornings, and they feel like they've done the work already. And then they get to the selling book, and they have to take a step back and say, whoa, this is way harder than I thought it would be. Something that I use to explain this to my authors is much like investing in retirement. So even if you're putting away a little bit at a time in your 20s, you're going to be better off when you retire in your 50s or 60s because you started early. Same thing with a marketing plan or a marketing campaign. If you start early, even if it's little baby steps, just setting up your Facebook profile, sending out one tweet a day, maybe even one tweet a week if you're nervous, that will by far help you start building an audience and then converting them into sales instead of trying to do it all at the last second.
Yeah, it's much easier to start so much further out. I had a chuckle when you were talking about retirement, because I really comment to a lot of the authors that we deal with that this is really your second job.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that marketing has so many aspects to it, and your specialty, which is social media, can be an overwhelming monster if you allow it to, but there are ways to make it a lot smoother, a lot easier, and you don't have to fear it. With you've been into the ebook aspect. You know, working with international ebook retailers, you've done the traditional publishing, you've done the independent book publishing aspect. What aspect for you do you find to be more rewarding?
Well, so I've worked at a traditional publisher. So I, when I was in college, I did my internship with DK Penguin in London. And then previously I'd been working directly with authors in my role as a marketing manager for an international ebooks retailer. And I think the thing that really does it for me, the thing that I find very rewarding and what keeps me, you know, waking up and happy to go to work every morning, is that authors do get a lot of misinformation, and I can really help them by explaining, this is what the business is like. These are some things that you can be doing right now, and it doesn't have to be scary. This will only take, you know, 5 minutes a day. And seeing people recognize that this doesn't have to be intimidating is extremely satisfying for me.
Okay. Out of curiosity, since you have a degree in the literature world, have you ever thought of writing a book yourself?
I get asked that question a lot as someone who works in publishing. I have not. I don't think that, that's in my cards. I think my love for books is as a reader and as an author support. I love reading other people's stories. I love hearing them talk about their stories. I don't know if I've got anything interesting to say yet. I think I need some more life experience for that one. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sure you'll be able to write a book about social media.
I could write the book on social media.
And to that extent, you know, your event, your session there at the Celebration of Authors event, what, I'm trying to figure out the best way of saying this, because, again, I don't want to give too much information out over this show, but I know there's a lot of information you're going to be sharing. coming back to that aspect of why should somebody attend your particular session, give me something.
Sure. So my session is going to be talking about two things. It'll be talking about the theory of what it means to market your book and also the practice of what it means to market your book. So in our conversation today, I've been talking about the theory. I've been talking about the need for authors to stop thinking about advertising and selling and to start thinking about engaging an audience, because that's where we really see the sort of sweet spot of sales. That's where awareness and reputation overlap. Sales equals awareness plus reputation. So that's the theory that we've been discussing today. In my session at the event, I will be talking about the practice of implementing those things. So we'll be talking a lot about how to find your target audience, how to know who is or isn't in your target audience, how to write strong copy for each social media network. So, of course, on Twitter, you only have 140 characters, and that can be very tricky, whereas on Facebook, you have a little bit more time and space. We'll also be talking about ways that you can run online ads, and not only single-shot online ads, but how to amplify the effectiveness of those ads, how to make them not only, you know, a link to the Amazon page for the book, but how to get readers involved with your ad and engaged in your brand and your platform and your messaging. And, of course, this is something that everyone always needs to talk about. We'll be breaking down metrics. So we'll look at some ad campaigns that I've run in the past. We'll see what audience insights we can glean from that, and then I'll maybe give some recommendations on how we could tweak a campaign to be even more effective.
Okay, and that's very important, because even myself with the organization, we do Twitter ads, Facebook ads, and our success rate has not been as good as I would like to see it. So people will be able to come into your session and say, okay, here's the ad idea. Can you give me some guidance? You know, what did I do wrong, or what do I need to do to tweak it to make it work better? Is that correct?
Yeah, we'll talk about a lot of the theories during the session, and as you mentioned, I'll be around all day. I'm happy to sit down with people and look at the ads that they've run and maybe offer some suggestions.
And one of the things we've noticed, we actually did a survey of our Texas authors. Overwhelming, 80% of them wanted to go outside the typical bookstore to be able to sell their books. And social media is one of those ways, right?
Social media is certainly a way to raise awareness for your book. Of course, social media doesn't necessarily have a built-in buy function. So I like to think of this again, stop thinking about advertisements and selling and start thinking about engaging your audience. Good rule of thumb here is what we call the 80-20 rule of social media. So 80% of your content, and I'll dive into this more at our session, 80% of your content should be what I think of as value-added content. It should be commentary on current events that are maybe related to your topic. It should be providing an insight into your writing process. More sort of broader information could be shares or retweets of other authors that you follow. The 20% is your opportunity to drive consumers to buy. That's the self-promotional piece. That's the, you know, hit them with the sales pitch. That's really where you can operate on social media. I don't want to make authors think that, you know, instantly finding 100 followers on Facebook is going to equal 100 sales. That's not necessarily the case. There is still a little bit more work you need to do there to get them from a follower to a sale. That whole sales funnel is fascinating. We call it the brand experience funnel. And I'll be talking about that as well, how to move an audience member through that funnel.
Yeah, because with print, you had a much wider and longer funnel because, yeah, they saw the ad, but you still, as you mentioned, have to get them motivated to do something, whether it is to access your internet link that is in the ad or to visit someplace to look at your book. And social media cuts that down quite extensively.
Yes, and one of the great things about social media is that it's not interruptive. So if someone is following you on Facebook or Twitter, it's because they want messages from you. They want to hear more about you. They're expecting to see that content from you, and they don't have to go out of their way to find it because your updates will show up right in their news feed on Facebook or their homepage on Twitter. That information is not something that you need to, you know, go knock on their door and shove in their face. They've asked for it. Social media is a way to deliver it, and it is right in front of them, and they are ready to engage with it in the moment.
Okay. Do you see challenges for people other than the fact that they think it's a monster and they become somewhat afraid of it?
I think that's the biggest challenge, is that it seems overwhelming, and it seems like there's so many other authors on social media, and there's so many readers on social media following all these different authors. Where are you going to fit in? The real truth there is that you will fit in. You know your core audience. You can access your core audience through social media. And again, they're asking for updates from you, and all you have to do is give it to them.
You mentioned the core following, the core aspect of who to reach for your book. And it seems a lot of authors really don't know who that might be. I mean, they'll write a fictional story that has lots of romance, some suspense, some mystery. So, I mean, those are different subgenres. But yet, for the most part, they really never, ever figured out who will read my book.
I hear a lot of my audience is everyone. I hear a lot of that. And that's always a great conversation to have with authors and being like, no, actually, your audience is not everyone. You cannot solve everyone's problem, or you cannot satisfy every reader. It's just not possible. So we can talk a little bit more about, you know, the primary core audience. So let's say, you know, romance novel, core audience is likely going to be female and probably over the age of 25. There are a lot of young romance readers now, myself being one of them. When you write maybe a more traditional thriller, the audience tends to skew male, probably 45 plus. It's when you have these sort of crossover genres where it's maybe a thriller with some romantic elements or romance with some thriller elements that things start to get a little complicated, and finding your core audience may be a little bit more difficult.
Right. And we definitely have touched upon some of the subject matter you will not be discussing in your session. But luckily at this Celebration of Authors, there will be other people who will be talking about that. So it's definitely a good mix, having all these different types of subject matter that relate to marketing so that people get a better and much more complete understanding of what marketing for authors is about. And we are really excited to have you at this event. I have no doubt your free time will not be that free.
as long as I can get a quick lunch in, it'll be totally fine.
We'll make sure of that. But yeah, through the whole day and the evening events and the following day, there's going to be a lot of subject matter to talk about. And I'm sure with the information you're going to be giving out, they'll be able to touch base with you to see about actually hiring you or working with Greenleaf to get a better handle on this aspect and a better understanding in general.
Absolutely.
For this particular conference that you're going to be giving, is there anything you would want people to start thinking about so that when they do show up, they're more prepared and able to ask the right questions or better questions to get more information?
I think if people are interested in coming to my session, one of the things that they should be thinking about now, if they haven't already, is who they think their core audience is and where they could access that core audience. That could be social media as a starting place. I think one of the things that I'm really focused on in the session is helping people understand how to find a core audience and then how to access that core audience. So if you come with your own notion of this is what I think I'm working with, hopefully I can confirm that that thinking is correct, or I can steer you back in the right direction.
And, of course, you'll have examples just in case people are afraid to bring up their own particular items, right?
Of course, of course. People are also welcome to touch base with me after the presentation if they want to talk a little more one-on-one and they're a little apprehensive about raising their hands in front of an audience.
Yes, because we do know a lot of authors are not social. They don't want to involve being out there selling themselves or their books, and they feel much better with a private one-on-one conversation. We fully understand that.
Yeah, no author gets into writing because they like selling things. They get into writing because they like writing.
Right. Okay, well, I appreciate all the time and effort that you have given to the show, and we are definitely looking forward to having you at the conference. The information you've given just in today, it's just a drop in the bucket of a lot of the information I'm sure you will be sharing in this session. Is there any last-minute thoughts you would like to share?
Just reiterating that social media doesn't have to be scary. Online advertising doesn't have to be scary. My session will cover the basics. It'll give you a great orientation of sort of landscape of social media. It'll help you figure out where your core audience is, and then we can work together to refine how you approach them and the messages that you share with them.
Great. Well, I thank you very much for your time, and we're going to continue on with the show for just a few more minutes. And we look forward to seeing you at the event on April 30th and May 1st in Austin. And thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you, Alan. Really looking forward to it.
Thanks. Celebration of Author event is a author. You are competing against over 1.5 million books being published over each year at this rate, and it's increasing constantly because of the new traditions of ebooks and self-publishing and all those different things. But marketing is really an important aspect. And as you have heard in the show today, this is just one part of it, and there's a lot more. There's crafting your line pitch. You know, what is that 15-second pitch that will hook somebody to want to learn more about you and your book? Being able to do audiobooks, what's the pros and cons about that? How will it reach more people? Ebooks, how can you use ebooks as a marketing tool, which a lot of people don't think about? Schmoozing, how to have that conversation with people that can ultimately lead into explaining what your book is about and having them hooked and wanting to know more. Thinking outside the box, that's one of the events that will be going on. Renegade marketing, thinking outside that box. We are so comfortable within a certain area that sometimes we do need to think outside that box and look at different ways of doing it. Again, power of the internet, doing radio shows, how valuable being interviewed with a good host can be. Talking about the libraries, how valuable libraries and librarians can be and how to approach them, how to work with them. There's a book out about what authors should know with a new book, how to understand what readers are about, how to understand the different types of readers that are out there. There's just so many different things that we will be presenting at the Celebration of Authors event, and it's relatively inexpensive. It's only $150 if you're not a member of Texas Authors, and that covers the dinner with Judith Brills, who's won over 14 awards on her. She has over 40 books, and she has a new one that's coming out that's perfect for this event. She'll be talking about it. There's just so much that if you are an author, regardless if you live in Texas or not, I say come and enjoy it and get to meet other authors. Get to meet some award-winning authors, producers, a whole bunch of people that will be of great value to you. Even if you don't get a chance to do all the sessions, you'll at least get to meet other people and learn from them and have that social interaction going on. It's just how to figure out the best way to market and sell yourself and your books. Again, if you go to txauthors.com, and select COAD, Celebration of Authors Dinner. You can see the full list and be able to get more information about each of the different sessions that are going on. And the tickets are only $150 for the entire weekend, and that is a steal. And you'll get a great dinner. I can guarantee that at the Sheraton there. You're more than welcome to contact us if you have any questions. You can reach us at txauthors@live.com. You have been listening to Talk Radio Network. Again, Tony was out ill today. We are wishing him to be healthy as quickly as possible. That voice is important to him, and we want him to continue carrying on the conversation about writing. There are a lot of programs you can find on talkradionetwork.com that involve authors involve different programs, positive outreach, and different things of that nature. So we do hope you will check them out and give a listen to Tony on his different shows, and even consider, you know, working with him and doing interviews and stuff. He's always looking for good quality guests, and we are so thrilled to be a part of his organization. Thank you very much for listening, and we hope you have a great day.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD. Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.